Okay, have neither Mr. Wilkins or Ms. Harris arrived? Okay, we'll have to set them over then. Okay, let's move to our consent calendar and then to time certain. I don't believe there's been anything requested to remove from the consent calendar. Is that right?
326.
326? We're going to remove that, or are we just going to...
I thought we were going to remove it.
And take it up separately right afterwards. Okay, that's what we're going to do. So 326 is removed from the consent calendar, and we're going to have a brief discussion about that immediately after the rest of the consent calendar. Any others? Okay, roll call on consent, please.
Fish.
Aye.
Saltzman.
Aye.
Novick.
Aye.
Fritz.
Aye.
Hales.
Aye. 326, please.
Accept a grant in the amount of $1,879,465 from the Portland Development Commission, authorize an intergovernmental agreement, and authorize a competitive bidding process for construction of the West Burnside and Pearl District Circulation Improvements Project.
Commissioner Novick.
So the mayor actually suggested taking this off the consent calendar for the purpose of celebration, but I will begin by reading the language of the ordinance itself, which I think is quite eloquent. Over the past 12 years, the area known as the Pearl District neighborhood has dramatically transformed from an industrial warehouse district to a high-density mixed-use community. Traffic operations and street functions of the district have changed due to land use changes, e.g., the replacement of the Lovejoy Viaduct with the main street of the Portland Streetcar line. On June 13, 2012, the Pearl District Access and Circulation Plan was adopted by council. The plan was developed by the Bureau of Transportation in cooperation with city bureaus, the Portland Development Commission, and with participation from property owners, residents, business persons, and other interested citizens. The Pearl District's community, as well as the greater Portland community, has asked for improved access and safety improvements in and through the district. The plan will contribute to the goals of the North Pearl District Plan and the Portland Plan in advancing sustainable communities via the increased use of multimodal access and travel within the district. The plan also supports access for automobiles and truck traffic, by maintaining access to regional transportation and freight facilities, and by reducing conflicts between trucks, automobiles, bicycles, and pedestrians at interchanges with regional facilities and streets. At the time of adoption, Council directed the Bureau staff to collaborate with stakeholders to implement the plan and, as the first implementing action of the plan, to install traffic signals at priority intersections. The final project scope includes new traffic signals Northwest Cooch and 10th Avenue and Northwest Cooch and 11th Avenue, new traffic signals Northwest 13th and Gleason and Northwest 13th and Everett, modified signals at 4th and West Burnside to allow for a northbound left turn from Burnside. Yay. Pedestrians, Americans with Disability Act improvements to key intersections of the district. And on September 10th, 2012, PDC and the Bureau of Transportation entered into an intergovernmental agreement for the design and engineering of the signalization of the seven intersections, including traffic demand and operational modeling of the proposed improvements, engineering and cost estimating, including a set of construction documents for bid at a later date. And now, PDC has notified the City of Portland that it will award a grant for the West Burnside and Pearl District Circulation Improvements Project to the Portland Bureau of Transportation in the amount of $1.879465 million.
Thank you. Well, I just did want to celebrate this because it's a combination of PBOT working really effectively with the community, some serious traffic safety problems, that intersection at 10th and Broadway, I'm sorry, at Broadway and Cooch, has been, you know, a problem for traffic safety for some time. And although we're very much into multimodal access here, the fact that you cannot in an automobile take a left turn on eastbound Burnside into the Pearl District, I think has really made it difficult for some of those areas to see the prosperity we want them to see. And then finally, the other thing about this that I want to celebrate is that the Portland Development Commission is in the economic development business, but it is also in the placemaking business, and that means investing some tax increment funds in infrastructure. And so this is a case where PDC is putting tax increment money into basic public infrastructure, and I think that's completely appropriate, and I just wanted to appreciate that publicly because I think this is a great combination of PBOT and PDC and the community working together to actually make the place safer and more prosperous at the same time. So bravo to the folks involved from those bureaus that put this plan together with the neighborhood. Anyone else want to speak on this? It wasn't normally going to be a public item, but and Commissioner, thank you very much. Bravo. And then let's take a roll call on the second reading.
Fish.
Aye.
Saltzman.
Aye.
Novick.
Aye.
Fritz.
Well, congratulations, Commissioner and Mayor. I know that the former Commissioner and Mayor, Sam Adams, worked on this project a long time and is very happy that this is going on. thanks to the taxpayers of the River District Urban Renewal Area that is funding the majority of this improvement, which shows that investing in urban renewal districts does benefit all of us, especially those who use Burnside and are frustrated with it, the lack of the turns that we would like to make. Aye.
Hales.
Well done. Aye. Okay, now let's move to our time certain items, please.
Item 322, proclaim April 2014 to be Fair Housing Month in Portland.
Mr. Salzman.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. To recognize April as Fair Housing Month, we have a proclamation, and we also have a few guests. I'll start off by reading the proclamation, followed by Tracy Manning, the director of the Portland Housing Bureau. The proclamation, whereas our community is committed to equal opportunity and housing choice for all, and whereas the theme of Portland's Fair Housing Month is Fairness Matters, whereas the City of Portland and its partners are working together to combat discrimination and other impediments to housing choice, and whereas the City Council adopted Portland's first ever Fair Housing Action Plan in September 2011 and established a Fair Housing Advocacy Committee to oversee its implementation, and whereas the plan calls for a combination of enhanced outreach and education, increased testing and enforcement, and an expanded supply of affordable housing options, and whereas the Portland Housing Bureau is working with landlords and tenants to increase choice for low-income renters citywide, and whereas under federal fair housing laws, Oregon civil rights statutes, and Portland City Code, it is unlawful to discriminate on the basis of race, color, religion, sex, disability, familial status, national origin, marital status, sexual orientation, source of income, military status, gender identity, or history as a victim of domestic violence. And whereas 2014 marks the 46th anniversary of the signing of Title VIII of the Federal Civil Rights Act, also known as the Federal Fair Housing Act of 1968, and the 26th anniversary of the Fair Housing Act Amendments of 1988. And whereas the Fair Housing Act amendments banned discrimination against families with children and people with physical or mental disabilities and strengthened the enforcement of the law, now therefore I, Charlie Hales, Mayor of City of Portland, Oregon, the City of Roses, do hereby proclaim April 2014 to be Fair Housing Month in Portland and encourage all residents to observe this month by joining the effort to promote fair housing for all, because fairness matters. Tracy?
Thank you. I'm by the chair of your Fair Housing Advocacy Committee, Jason Trombley. Thank you so much, Commissioner Salzman and City Council, for your leadership in fair housing. I also want to take a moment to acknowledge that this is the first of two items that we're bringing you in partnership with Multnomah County and the City of Gresham. Happy Fair Housing Month. Fair housing really informs all of the work that we do at the Portland Housing Bureau. Really our focus on how to equitably serve the people of Portland through where we invest, as well as how we invest, and very particularly who benefits from that investment. It informs our approach to addressing disparities in housing choice experienced by communities of color as well as other protected classes, and informs our work to empower the people of Portland through awareness and education. So today, we're celebrating adorable school children. And,
always a good thing.
I know. I'll wrap up quickly until we get to the adorable part. And also the resiliency of our communities in Portland that are asking you and asking us to affirmatively further their fair housing rights and choice in the City of Portland. So thank you very much again for your support of City Council. And because of that support, we have in Oregon removed barriers for tenants with Section 8 vouchers to renting their home. When House Bill 2639 goes into effect this July, an Oregonian can no longer be legally discriminated against based on receiving a federal rent subsidy. Also want to thank our passionate partners in this work, and especially the Fair Housing Advocacy Committee that brings together City of Portland, Multnomah County, and the City of Gresham to advocate for fair housing. And we're also grateful for the work of the Fair Housing Council of Oregon, Community Alliance of Tenants, Legal Aid Services of Oregon, and Home Forward, and to our partners in the Oregon Opportunity Network and Multifamily Northwest, who show us that we can do better. Now very happy to introduce Jason Trombley, the chair of our Fair Housing Advocacy Committee and representative of the Coalition of Communities of Color, who will give an example of our public awareness campaign. Thanks, Jason.
Thank you, Tracy. So good morning, Mayor Hales, members of the City Council. I wanted to first read a scenario letter that is an example of the types of issues that make addressing fair housing both a timely and a continued relevant issue for the City of Portland. So I was diagnosed with post-traumatic stress disorder in 2012. I remember the day when Lieutenant Gatewood came by to visit me in my new apartment. He asked how I was doing, how I was sleeping. I said, fine. He asked me why I had 6 gallons of water on the kitchen counter with food provisions, flares, and a first aid kit. I told him that I was just staying prepared if anything had happened. Gatewood reminded me that I wasn't in Afghanistan anymore. Before he left, he handed me a business card. It was for Alex Solis, a veteran who served in the first Iraq War and was now volunteering at the Eugene Vet Center and working as a certified therapist and counselor. The next day, I was staring at my emergency supplies on the kitchen counter. I wanted to put them away, but I couldn't. I knew it was stupid that I had the supplies out. I knew I was in Springfield, Oregon, and not Afghanistan. I realized then that I needed to talk to someone, so I called Alex Solis. Best call in my life. After a few weeks of therapy, Alex thought a therapy dog would make a big difference in handling the extreme anxiety that I was facing. We recognized that I was spending too much time alone, playing video games, watching movies, and drinking. A dog would get me out into the real world by walking it or playing at the park. It would be good to have some companionship in my life. So I spent a few weekends training and getting to know some of the dogs at a facility in Cornelius, Oregon. All of the dogs were great. Eventually, the facility paired me with a chocolate lab. She was kind of the runt of the litter, a very sweet dog, and her name was Daisy. I know Daisy isn't exactly a tough name for a soldier's dog, but the training lady said she was a best match for me. She joked that having a dog named Daisy would make me look like a sensitive guy to any potential girlfriends I meet in the future. So I called Alex to let him know that I was assigned my dog and I would be soon bringing her home. Alex said he would write me a prescription for an emotional support letter to show to my landlord. I knew there was a no pets policy allowed at the building where I lived, but I thought it wouldn't be a problem for me because I've seen dogs for the blind to get to go on the bus and enter restaurants and public buildings. I honestly thought, since my dog was specially trained, that I wouldn't have a problem with my landlord letting me have him. So I handed my landlord the prescription for an assistance animal. The landlord reminded me that they have a no pet policy. So I talked to him about having a disability and that my disability was PTSD. My landlord again reminded me that his son was also a veteran and he didn't want to show me any disrespect. But a rule is a rule and the other tenants expect not to see dogs in the complex. He said, as a soldier, I should understand policy and regulations. He would give me until the weekend to take Daisy back to Cornelius. I couldn't believe it. I mean, I wasn't bringing in a dog to just have as a pet. Daisy was prescribed to me to help me deal with my anxiety and process my emotions. I didn't know what to do. I couldn't afford to spend time looking for another place, let alone deal with moving. I skipped my appointment with Alex. I started feeling like I was going backwards emotionally. I couldn't even look Daisy in the face. I didn't want to send her back. I already lost friends in the war, and I didn't want to lose another one. Later that evening, I got a knock on my door. It was Alex, my therapist. He asked, why did you skip out on our session? I told him about the no pets policy and that I was getting nervous about my recovery because I was losing my new best friend. My dog, you know, I was feeling anxious. Fortunately, Alex had run into this problem before with some past veterans. He told me to take Daisy back tomorrow to Cornelius. He made sure to have the dog's trainers put a hold on Daisy and not give her away until he got back to them. The next day, Alex called the Fair Housing Council of Oregon for me. He explained the situation. They sent an advocacy letter explaining my right to the dog, but my landlord still refused to cooperate. Then together, we filed what's called an administrative complaint with the Oregon Civil Rights Division. That got my landlord's attention. During the conciliation meetings with the division, the landlord agreed to permit the dog and had to pay damages for the emotional trauma I had gone through returning the dog. A week later, I brought Daisy home again. I cried when I picked her up. She practically licked off my face. Over time, Daisy has helped me build a vocabulary of feelings and emotions. I'm able to express real fear and deep regrets. I'm more aware that my range of feelings are much larger. Feelings like empathy, caring, and love have come back into my life, and my dog has helped me get there. She's especially helped me get a good night's sleep. I'm no longer sleeping with one eye open. Daisy can watch out for me while I sleep. Fair Housing Council of Oregon helped me get situated into a living space where I felt safe to heal myself. Daisy helped me get outside of myself emotionally to where I no longer was hurtful to myself or other people. I still have a long road ahead of me, but I hope one day I'll feel like a civilian again. So that just is a composite, but also underscores the relevance and the timelessness of this issue. So to talk about what's going on in Fair Housing Month, there are a series of events, one being on Thursday, April 10th, which is our Fair Housing event, which will be held at the Oregon Jewish Museum starting at 5:30. And before I move forward, I just wanted to thank Enrique Arias of Common Good Communications for putting together the composite of the scenario that I just read for you. Another component of promoting and announcing Fair Housing Month is that the Fair Housing Council of Oregon had conducted a poster contest, reaching out to a series of students throughout the various school districts in Portland, and each student submitted a series of poster designs, which were just presented before you. And so with that, I'd like to bring up the two poster contest winners so they can talk about themselves and their interest in the competition. So the two students I'd like to bring up to the dais are Rebecca Chelsea, who is an eighth grader at Access Academy here in Portland.
Good catch.
And our second student, which is Matheny Madhusudan, a fourth grader at Springville School.
Come on up. Good morning.
Welcome. Hey, Tracy, can we see the posters for a sec?
Sure. Yeah, this would be the one.
Same ones.
We've gotten
two different versions, okay. Right?
Yes. Yeah. I see.
It's great because we have two different artists. Mm-hmm. Welcome.
So, Rebecca?
Hello. I'm Rebecca Chelsea. I'm 14 years old. I'm an eighth grader at Access Academy. And I entered this contest when my teacher gave me a piece of paper describing the contest rules. And I really enjoy creating art, and I thought that this was a good cause, and I really enjoyed that I could combine my artistic efforts with something that I feel would really help people. And I'm especially honored that I would be one of the winners of this contest and that my art would actually be distributed to a lot of people. Thank
Yours
you.
Yours is the top poster?
Yes.
Okay.
Anthony?
Hello, my name is Maithani Madhusudan, and I'm in fourth grade at Springville K-8. And first of all, I just wanted to say thank you all for this wonderful opportunity. I love to draw, and one wish I have is for peace to come over the world, everybody to have a house, and every child to go to school, and no child go to bed hungry. Thank you.
Thank you both. Thanks. Great work. And you can definitely get the message from your artwork, so it communicates to all of us very well. Thank you.
Mayor? I think they're here with either a parent or a loved one. Could we have each of you acknowledge whoever you've come with?
The camera.
The man with the camera.
Mayor, can we break with the rules of the house and offer them a round of applause?
Yeah, let's do that. Good job. Thank you so much.
Lastly, I just wanted to say that we have additional copies of both posters out in the foyer, and so if anybody would like a copy, both students are available after this item to meet with you and also autograph them if you should like.
Excellent. Yeah, we'd love an autographed copy of each in our office, so thank you.
And I think we wanted to get a photo with
Let's do that.
All of you. Yes. And your posters.
Okay.
We're just keeping the seats warm for these seats.
Give Daisy a hug for us.
I will.
The council has to declare when we receive something of value, so those will probably be worth a great deal someday when these artists are better known. But for now, we'll be under the legal threshold, so thank you. Great. Are there others, Dan, that you have lined up to speak on this? Anyone else that wants to testify on this item? If not, then let's take a roll call on accepting the proclamation. I guess we don't have to do that, but we can do it anyway. Let's affirm the proclamation.
Dan, thanks for bringing this proclamation forward. Thanks to all of our community partners that are moving the fair housing agenda of our city forward. I want to do a special shout-out to Speaker Tina Kotek. There are some things only a speaker can do, and she put at the top of her agenda last session reforming Section 8 and saying that we would no longer discriminate against Section 8 voucher holders in our state. And I believe, Tracy, we're only one of 10 or 11 states that's adopted these protections. So let's be clear, no one with a voucher can mandate that a landlord rent to him or her, but you'll no longer be able to read ads in the Oregonian that say Section 8 need not apply. A Section 8 voucher holder will be treated the same as any other renter, and that is, I think, basic fairness. And the third comment I just want to make on this day is that, as Deion Jordan was here acknowledging his father, I would be remiss if I did not acknowledge that my father was the author of the 1988 Fair Housing Act amendments and carried that legislation, and it was his proudest day. So as his proud son, I acknowledge his legacy today. Aye.
Saltzman.
Well, I want to thank Jason Tromley, the chair of our Fair Housing Advisory Committee, who's probably out autographing posters. but thank him for and the Fair Housing Advisory Committee for all their hard work. And Commissioner Fish, thanks to your dad for his pioneering work on fair housing. It's so important. Aye.
Novick.
I also want to thank Jason Tromley for his story, demonstrating that it's important to have rules, it's important to have good people enforcing them, and they make a real difference in people's lives. And to thank our two artists. Aye.
Fritz.
Thank you to Tracy Manning and the other presenters. It's important to have rules and to enforce them. Wouldn't it be great if we didn't have to enforce the rules because everybody knew them and followed them? So I think we still have a long way to go. But I particularly appreciate this encouraging presentation and the adorable children. Aye.
Hales.
Great way to highlight this important work. Thank you. Aye.